The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Greg Ducharme, and today, following the match, Champions for Charity, I am driving today. And we do have Rick Gaiman here. We do have Kyle Porter here. We're extremely excited to get the matches, but I'm driving today as, well, one reason is maybe a medalist expert, you may say, but the real reason is Rick is just too excited to, he can't drive the whole thing. He's just a little bit too excited and he's gushing. So Rick, welcome to the show. Let's get some instant reactions here.
I'm foaming at the mouth. I'll speak just for myself. I won't say what we've been talking about, but I have been very critical of similar type matches in the past. We set a very low bar of expectations for this match. It exceeded that 1 minute in, and this was an absolute A-plus event. I thought the production was great. I thought the players were great. We saw enough good golf shots. Like, all in all, this was A-plus. I absolutely loved it, Greg.
Kyle, I know you said briefly beforehand, I've got some takes. Are you with Rick on this? Do you agree?
Yeah, so here's the reason. I was trying to figure out in my head why it was so good. Because it was just the best. I mean, I thought that if you would have told me 2 weeks ago, hey, what's going to be better, Seminole or medalist, Rory or Tiger, I would have said 100 times out of 100, Rory and DJ at Seminole. But it wasn't even close. I mean, that was fine. That was good for what it was. This was unbelievable. And I think the reason is because it started out kind of like so absurd that it was awesome. Like, it was so like Brady and Manning are in the woods off one. It's raining. Nobody's mics were. It was just kind of loony. And so you got that and you're like, oh, well, I'm just going to enjoy this because it's going to be crazy. And then it transitioned into, wow, everybody's playing great golf down the stretch. And that's why it was good late. And so that transition from the beginning to the end, I just thought it was, the whole thing was spectacular. I could not get enough of it.
It was a very nice blend, and there's so much to unpack in it. But the broadcast, if you compare it to the previous last week's rendition at Seminole, a big difference to me, this felt much more natural. Whereas if you look last week, there were a couple moments that looked forced. There were technological issues in both matches, but these seemed like they seemed acceptable. It didn't seem like an issue that Tom Brady's earpiece isn't working for a little bit. He's hearing static. It felt shocking. Extremely natural, which I thought was
shocking. Yeah, shocking that Brady had malfunctioning equipment on the court.
Yeah, right.
Not just equipment. Clothing seemed to be an issue too, right?
Oh yeah, that was like the 10th best thing to ever happen. The guy splits his pants, and that was like the 10th best thing. To your point, Greg, though, like, to me, the production had a couple of things that made a huge difference. The cameras in the carts was awesome. So you were picking. So we've talked about this a lot. There is a lot of downtime in golf. And when the guys are walking to their balls, like we've seen in the past, that's dead air. Well, when you have cameras in the carts with these guys mic'd up and you can turn the camera. So if they park anywhere near the green, they've like doubled the amount of cameras that they have on the hole because they've got a little skeleton staff out there with, you know, physical cameras. So that's part one. And then part two, they're all wearing earpieces. They're all wearing mics, which again, in golf, if in part one of this, if Tiger hits his ball in the left rough and Phil hits his ball in the right rough, they're 100 yards away. They can't communicate with one another. Now they can. You throw an earpiece on, you throw a mic on, and they can talk trash. They can have this conversation going no matter where they are on the course. Those two things alone make the production like 10 million times better.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. And there's like nine other things that made the production better as well. Like you got, so first of all, you had more space for guys to fill up, right? Like the announcing just wasn't as heavy as it has been in previous iterations of this. And I mean, look, it helps that you have, like, if you took every athlete from the last 50 years and it was just like a competition where you just said, hey, talk, and you had to judge who was the most interesting, Phil and Peyton Manning would be like top 10 on that list. And they're both in the event. So yeah. It's like, you just have Peyton on camera in his cart, just talking. I don't even know. He's not even talking about anything relevant. He's just saying words. And for some reason it's interesting. And then you add into all that JT was awesome. I thought he was lights out. He was so good. And then Phil talking about the different shots that he was going to hit, was trying to hit, and then hit it. I mean, it was a 5-hour broadcast or 4.5 or whatever, and it felt like 10 minutes. I mean, sometimes you watch this stuff, like everybody, I don't know if this happens to you guys, but everybody's like, oh, you got the coolest job. You get to watch golf all day. And it's like, it's amazing. And I'm very appreciative of it. Sometimes it's a grind. This was not a grind. It was awesome.
The Justin Thomas dynamic was excellent. The Charles Barkley dynamic, who knows, Charles Barkley knows just enough about golf to be dangerous, but he's always a fun, loving, enjoyable guy. But here's the other thing. Here's the big difference in this. Last week, we got people calling in and talking about whatever they wanted to talk about. This week, we got guys calling in and owned that charity aspect and owned like that challenge, right? Like I know a lot of telecasts and a lot of things, we walk the fine line of gambling and sports, where we walk that fine line every single week. This was like a really cool way for Russell Wilson to be like, okay, anybody who hits it within 12 feet here, I'll donate 100,000 meals. And now it's like a challenge. Now it's like a bet within itself, but it's all for charity, which like raises the stakes every time something like that happens. So just unbelievably well done.
And in addition to that, you get, for some, it's like, I like in my head, it's crazy that this happened, but of course it happened. Like Brooks Koepka talking to Tom Brady,
yeah,
right before he tees off, and we get to listen in. You're like, well, that's freaking awesome. Like, I need more of that, you know? And so I think we either talked about this or I wrote about it, how like, I think I wrote about it after Seminole last week, more microphones, more, it just get player guys talking about anything. It doesn't matter. I just need more of it in the future on whatever tour, whenever they're playing.
See, the interesting thing about matches like this, from a production standpoint, your concern is, what do we do with dead air? What do we do in between shots? We have four guys on a golf course. We can't cut the way we typically cut from hole number one to hole number 18 and anywhere in between. You can't do that in an event like this. And what they did in this one, to your point, Kyle, about the microphones and how they're an asset, they turned the microphones into an asset. They had a number of announcers, I think maybe five, plus the four players, which is similar to what they had last week. Last week, it felt like too much. Everybody had to get their opportunity to speak. Everybody had to get their point in. And it felt a little bit clumsy. What they did this week is they just put the announcers in the group. So it wasn't four guys playing golf. It was, you had what, 10 guys out on the golf course watching four guys play golf, and they were interacting with each other. And it's something I hadn't seen before. I hadn't experienced, but it completely took care of the dead air. And the other thing that I really enjoyed was the embrace of silence. There were moments where nobody was talking. And it was completely fine. It didn't feel rushed. You're looking at a beautiful golf course. You're looking at Peyton Manning or Tom Brady texting on his phone. And it just, it worked.
Texting and driving, by the way.
On some pretty narrow bridges, too. Yeah. It was a little bit concerning at times. But I just, to me, it felt extremely natural. And it didn't feel like anybody was searching for anything. But there was also some really great play. And some not so great play. So, Kyle, I'll start with you here. What'd you think of the play early, late, the transition throughout? What were your initial takeaways?
Real quick, Jordan Spieth disappointed with Tom Brady texting and driving. Take the pledge, Tom.
That's right.
Take the pledge. Yeah,
he had to get in there. We had
what,
to get
what
in
minute,
there.
What minute mark are we at? No, that was pretty early.
I think what Greg is saying is a great point. And we'll get to the golf in just a second, but I think it hinges. Tell me if you agree with this, Rick. I think it hinges on the earpieces, right? Like, doesn't that make all the difference? And I think that's hard because you can't do that for a tour event. You can't do that at a major. You can't do it, but you can do it for this, and it makes it work.
It unlocks everything. It unlocks the ability for golfers to talk to one another. It unlocks the ability for Amanda Baliones to be up at the green talking to someone, asking a question. It opens up the opportunity for Brooks Koepka to talk to Tom Brady on the tee. Like, yes, that is the key. It might be annoying for those guys. I mean, we wear earpieces all the time. We hear producers. There's probably a lot going on in their ears. But if they're doing a good job kind of shutting that off during their swing and not hearing static, like, that is absolutely the key that gets you the golden content.
Can you imagine Bryson trying to play with an earpiece in, like trying to do his math with somebody in his ear? That'd be unreal.
He would weaponize it, though. He'd have somebody in his ear, like, with, like, so-and-so went long on this, two groups ago. Be aware. Like, he would absolutely weaponize it.
In an airplane with the air density, like piping down, like what the numbers are.
I'm not sure that's allowed, but the one thing you could do with the earpiece is take it out, right? All you do is pop it off like that, like I just did, and it's out. You can hit a shot, it clips to your shirt, so it's easy to find again. If it's something that's going to bother you when you're hitting, you just pop it out. So I think it definitely brings some opportunities. I'm not sure if it's something that we'll ever see in a PGA Tour event on a weekend. I'm not sure there's a place for it. Certainly open-minded to something like that. But for an event like this, I mean, think about Japan Skins at the Zozo. An event like that, I think, is something we could see more often on the PGA Tour, incorporated with PGA Tour events. I mean, think about at the Memorial having a skins game as a lead-in, or a smaller event, a less known event than the Memorial. I think it'd be a great way to increase some attention on an event. And then it's a way to bring people who aren't typically golf fans into the game and let them enjoy it a little bit. So I definitely enjoyed that aspect too.
For the second, sorry, Kyle, for the second, was it week in a row? Golf was trending on Twitter. That's like really all, like, that is, it is breaking into more than just us. My wife was like, I'm actually enjoying this. I'm like, yeah, this is great. This is good for everybody. So this broke past just us hardcore golf fans.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, the people who are like, oh, I don't have time for it. I'm not watching this. It's like, okay, cool. Like, if that's your corner, like, enjoy that corner, because it is what it is. Like, do you want to watch golf or not? I mean, it turned out to be great. I thought it was really good. Guys, we are, I don't know how many minutes we are into this, like 13 or so. We haven't talked about the fact that Tiger didn't miss a shot all day.
So that's what's going to be. Yeah, he was so good. The Tom Brady stuff for like the first 6 or 7 holes was all the rage, but Tiger was unreal.
He had such control over the, I mean, the driver was a pipe. It was a pipeline.
I maybe this is just how it's going to be for the next 6 years or whatever, but you look at him, like I think it was Northern Trust last year, the Open last year, he's so stuck. Like, he can't get through the ball. And then he wins Zozo and he looks great. And then he plays Riviera and he's kind of stuck again. He just looks a little like weird and just not great. And now he looks like the guy that won the Masters. And it's going to be hard to ride that roller coaster. And look, I'm not going to like extrapolate, you know, 18 exhibition holes at his home course to like the majors at the end of the year. But man, I mean, it got overshadowed by everything else, which is a weird thing to say, but his swing was phenomenal. It was so good.
It was. He was using such control, such great rhythm. The interesting thing that I noticed is not a single ball curved left. I love how they have the Pro Tracer on there, so you can see what the ball's actually doing. But everything was straight, and I mean dead straight, to a little bit of a fade. And when I watched Tiger, you mentioned Riviera, Kyle. Riviera asks for some draws. And when Tiger has to hit a draw, when he's asked to turn it over from right to left, that's when you start to see him get stuck. When he just commits to that shot that he hit, I mean, the shot he hit all day today was the same shot he hit on 17 in 2019 at the Masters. It was the same exact tee shot. He's found a go-to shot. I got to think that is a good thing going forward. What do you think for the rest of the year, Rick? You think we're going to see a lot of him?
I don't know. You know, we get such a condensed schedule from Tiger anyway, and we know he wants to peak just a handful of times a year. But now with the sprint that we are going to see to the end of the year, like, I don't know. And he's been such a creature of habit. We've usually been pretty good at able to guess the events that he's going to play, but we have been flipped on our head. I think he's going to continue to be cautious, Greg. And I think they're, you know, we it was weeks ago at this point, but we looked at the schedule. There's a lot of big events in a very short period of time. And I think he's going to sit out a few of them and have to rank them what his priorities are, because he's not going to play, you know, multiple weeks in a row. He's not going to tee it up three times in 4 weeks or something like that. So no, I don't think we're going to see a lot of them, and we're just going to see what his priorities are.
So Kyle, when you look at Tiger having all this time off in advance, Rick just mentioned something. He's not going to play 3 out of 4 weeks. Do you think you can build time off? Do you think you can build rest? Will this time off that he's had right now allow him to go with a heavier schedule in the fall?
I don't think so, because I think it's less for him. I think it's more for him about having like a lot of time between events. Honestly, like watching him today, I'm like, why doesn't he just play the majors? You know, like if he's this good, and again, I get it. It's medalist. It's not it's an exhibition. And so I'm not trying to like extrapolate that, but if he looks that good after what, 4 months of not having played, and if that's like your thing right now, is I got to get 4 months of rest before the majors or whatever. It's probably not that much, but you know, a month off or 6 weeks off leading up to a major, then just do that. If that's your schedule, then just do it. Like, own that, you know, play 5 times a year or whatever. And especially over the next, you know, 14 months when you're going to have 7 majors and it's just super heavy. So
I think we might be closer to that, Kyle, than people want to believe. We might not see Tiger that goes from 16 events a year to 12 to 9 to 8. We might just see him go to like 5. And he just plays 5 for the next however many years.
I do love it when people are like, we could see him at the John Deere. You know, I hadn't played there since 96. You're like, yeah, probably not.
Yeah. He's going the other way with the schedule.
he did look really good out there. And it is something, you know, just one real quick point, Kyle, before what you were mentioning with the time off. I've gone back and forth with this. And part of me thinks, well, Tiger needs reps. I've been in a spot where in my analysis where I say, okay, Tiger needs reps to get himself ready to go. And Tiger plays really well the second week in a row. If he can play 2 out of 3 weeks, the last one's probably going to be his best tournament. But Zozo completely flipped that on its head. The President's Cup completely flipped it on his head, because he came out all of a sudden looking like very much like he did today and was able to win. So I'm not quite sure where to go with that. But I guess what I would say is he knows how to prepare himself, and Tiger will do whatever it takes to make sure he's ready for the events that he cares most about. I don't think that includes things like the Olympics, which we want to say, well, he's going to play more because it's an Olympic year. Tiger cares about the majors, and he's going to do everything he can to win those. He also cares about matches with Phil Mickelson, and he was able to get a little redemption today. Were you surprised at all with the victory? Were you surprised at all with the near comeback? What were your general thoughts on the play of today, aside from just Tiger?
I mean, I was not surprised with the victory after watching Brady for the first 7.5 holes or what, you know, I don't remember when he holed out, but 7. I mean, it was, I mean, you know, we talk about how like, oh, we want Top Tracer on every event. Like, that's the coolest. Like, Top Tracer was not good for the Tom Brady household for, you know, 7 holes on Sunday. And then like the hole out, that's like like the shot of the year. I mean, I don't understand how you go from like, you know, hosel adjacent, 4 grooves too low on your wedges to holing out. Not only, it's not as if it like bounced up and like hit the stick and pot, you know, like he like spun it back and it went in. I don't understand how that happens.
Okay. There is so much about this. First off, about the actual, like this was out of hand on the front nine, like very much out of hand where Brady holed out. Phil made a birdie on a par three and they still made the turn three down. That is a beat down. Okay.
Yeah.
So the fact that Phil and Brady were able to come back a lot, you know, they've got Mo now, according to Tom Brady, right? They were able to at least take this to 18. I was very impressed with, but that shot, man, that Tom Brady hole out where he was, and especially because this is happening in real time on Twitter, where he is everyone's punching bag and the memes are flying. Great. Oh, it's amazing. The memes are flying. Charles Barkley's offering 25. Nah, make it 50. You can't even keep it on the planet. Like it is, it is so good. Brooks Koepka sees what's happening. He's like, I got, this is safe money. I'll give $100,000 if this guy can make a par. Like it was unfolding in real time. Brady knows he's the punching bag in real time. And then he holds out from the fairway with just the absolute, and it was a pure, pure shot. Sounded great. Spun back. Like this was top notch theater.
All it takes is Charles Barkley, right?
Yeah, it actually got a little awkward for Brady, like on the fourth, fifth, and sixth hole, to the point where like he wasn't really talking. Nobody was really talking to him. It was like, how's this going to go for the next? Because I, you know, Tiger and Peyton win three of the first six, and you're like, this is going to be over at like 13 because Brady hits the back and that's a wrap. Like that's over. And then I think seven kind of jump started him a little bit, but I was shocked at how he played on the back. What's the deal with not hitting driver, by the way? Did he get COR tested and get it taken away?
he can't hit it.
He didn't hit. Yeah. When he was on number two, hitting a three wood, or I assume it's a three wood on number two, you know, right then that he can't hit driver. Cause for a guy who slices every shot, fades it, that hole favors that kind of a shot with a driver. And so he's clearly got driver issues going on. So no drivers.
We give the guy that can't hit driver to Phil to be on his team. That's good.
Right, I know.
Yeah.
But it worked after that shot. I mean, you're right, Kyle. You bring up so many interesting points. But one thing to me is I'm thinking when this goes to alternate shot, this is it's going to get really ugly. And it's not going to be fun for Phil. There's going to be a point where it turns from this is great and Brady's kind of, we're laughing at Brady, to okay, now this ended at 6 o'clock and we have the TV slot until 8. And now we got to watch Charles Barkley play. Maybe Charles is going to go 9 holes instead of just one. But then he holds out.
I would watch Charles Barkley play 9 holes.
You want to watch Charles Barkley play 9 at Medalist?
Yeah. That's good. That's good television.
But the whole thing turned around. Charles Barkley said, "Hey, Tom, I want a piece of you. I want to play you in a match." And all of a sudden, the next shot Brady hits goes in, and all of a sudden you couldn't. Brady was the announcer. All of a sudden he's lead analyst. He took over for Peyton.
I thought the funniest part about that whole deal was Brady's reaction. And I don't know if it was because his mic fell off or what, but he. I mean, Phil is like flipping out. I don't know if he had too much coffee or what the deal was, but he's like freaking out down by the green. And Brady just does like the eyebrow raise thing, you know, like that. And you're like, what is this guy? Brady is, I don't know. He might be like the weirdest dude ever, but that reaction was just, it was really like strange, but also very on brand for him kind of in the moment.
I think it's just relief. Like the guy is probably like, oh, thank God. Like, you're right. Everyone was looking at him like, you are the fourth wheel here and we are dragging you around, medalist. I think it was just relief that he was like, let's go. I did my part. I hit my shot.
And that's basically what he said, which was, I haven't had a good shot in 7 holes. Now it's my time. And he goes on. I love my family. I thought it was very entertaining. And he turned from a quiet guy into the lead commentator. So that was just phenomenal to watch. So we're going to get into a lot more of this, but first let's take a break and hear a word from our partners.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
True Green is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, among others. They'll do all of that, so you can do literally anything else. You have better things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. Let True Green take care of all the hard work it takes to get a great lawn, while you take care of everything else on your to-do list. Get started today by visiting truegreen.com, because we all love a beautiful lawn, but not all the work that it takes to maintain it. So, you do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they're the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. Visit truegreen.com today. That's truegreen.com.
And we're back. Now, another interesting aspect of the match, I thought there were so many innovative things, but one to me was the one club hole on the fifth hole. And everybody's deciding kind of what we're going to do here, where we're going to go. And Tom Brady hits it in the water. No surprise. By the way, there's a baby alligator that lives in that pond. We named him D. Besides the point, he's wondering where to drop from. We're getting rulings. Where's the red line? I thought that was a little bit
Trevor
on the
Immelman,
awkward side.
Trevor Immelman is walking Tom Brady through a drop.
Yes.
It's so good.
They should have had Tiger walk him through a drop with Casey Wittenberg on line one. That would have been...
I think he was. Tiger was given some rulings early on. I think on a different hole on number two.
Yeah, Tiger said it was Brady again, and Tiger goes, "Oh yeah, just go as far back as you want." I was like, "Yeah, I've heard that before. That didn't go so well."
So good.
That's a reference to Masters, and yeah. Was that what was that? What year 15? Was that? 15. Yeah. Was it on number 15?
No, 13. It was 2013.
Okay. That opens up an entirely different can of worms, but it was very interesting to see. And Brady, I think, lost, I think on my count, it was somewhere between 4 and 6 golf balls. There was one on number three. I don't know. He hit two on number three. He found one. I don't know if he found the other one.
I don't understand how you lose 6 balls and then hole out from like 150 on, like for it just, it doesn't add up.
And it was so perfect. It jumped past the hole, has a little spin, as Phil said, a little delayed sauce, and comes right back into the hole, which was another thing that I love too, right? The Phil's analysis is spot on.
Oh, it was so good. And whenever JT would like set him up, because JT kind of knew how to like work around that, and he would just set Phil up and Phil would just take off. And it was so, so good. I wanted to ask you guys, what was your favorite, like, I don't know, like low key moment or quote that kind of went under the radar? Wasn't a huge deal, like Brady holing out, but that you were like, oh, that was so good. Like maybe people missed it or you just caught it or whatever. Did you guys have any moments like that?
Rick?
Man, I feel like I was saying out loud, like I was repeating like a lot of things that everyone said. I was like, oh my God, he just said so-and-so or like whatever, but I can't think of any off the top of my head. I don't know. JT was really good. I mean, JT calling out Charles Barkley and saying, I'd like to see your fat ass dunk a basketball is unbelievable. Like it's just so unbelievably good. I don't know. I don't know.
I think mine was on, real quick on 10. So they start the back nine. They're actually, everybody's kind of playing well. And Brady hits a putt to like 7 feet, maybe 6 feet. And Tiger tells Phil to pick it up. And in my head, I'm like, what's going on? Like, that was weird. And then Phil, like Brady's like, oh, great. You know, he's like kind of celebrating. Like, oh, I made a par to start the back nine. And Phil looks at Brady and goes, "That's actually not a good sign."
Yeah.
And like,
we're in trouble.
The way he said it, he was like, he like turned like very concerned. I don't know if he was like playing it up or if he was like actually concerned, but Brady like didn't get it. And it was just a really like kind of inside baseball type moment from those two guys that I thought was really cool.
I thought Phil repeatedly telling Tom Brady that he needs to be aggressive through this spot of the putt was like him being like, "Tom, you better hit this putt really hard, like aggressive through this part of the putt, aggressive up this hill, aggressive here." I was like, I think he's trying to tell you something here, Tommy boy.
Phil did such a, I mean, that's a hard partner to have, right? You're, because it's just such a struggle. And then you turn to alternate shot and now you need him. You are completely relying on it, and Brady completely turned it around. But one thing I really liked was when they were on the range early on, and Amanda is asking Peyton who would caddy for him if he had a choice, and he brings up Bill Belichick, and I just thought it was so. He's just kind of going through the business, going through the motions, and you don't really get a sense that anything's going to come out. He's kind of going through the list of names, and all of a sudden he ends up with Bill Belichick as his choice. He's going to have Bill caddy for, and I thought it was a good, it kind of set a good tone for the day. But on the trash talking point, I thought it was, again, I use this word a lot. It was natural. It wasn't forced trash talk where they're going to try to give each other intentional digs here and there. It just came out like there were a bunch of guys hanging out. And when trash talk came out, that was great. And when Phil got into kind of the golf geek stuff, that was great too.
I think the difference from last week was these guys know each other. These guys are much more comfortable with one another. I mean, Phil and Tiger, obviously great history. Peyton and Tom Brady as well. They're all very likable. Like last week, you know, Matthew Wolf is taking jabs at Dustin Johnson, and he probably has no idea how DJ's really going to react to a lot of that stuff. This was, and even JT, even the JT aspect to Kyle's point, like JT knows what to say to set Phil up or to set somebody up. So just the dynamic of all those guys knowing each other made the conversation and the trash talk just much better.
Is JT a future on-course commentator?
Hopefully, I mean, 40 years.
Yeah, if you want, yeah, after he's won 8 majors. I thought even like the stuff between Tiger and Phil, I mean, last time it was like, I remember them walking up like the, you know, second fairway at Shadow Creek last time in Vegas. And it's like, "Hey, how's your family doing?" I'm like, what the hell? Like, this is not what I tuned in for. And this time it was more, you know, I think Tiger is kind of an overrated trash talker. Like, he's not very good at it. He's kind of awkward and just kind of goofy with it, very dad-like, honestly, to match his cargo shorts that he was wearing.
Oh, man.
But there was a moment on the front where Phil asked Tiger to mark his ball on a green, and Tiger asked him if he wanted him to use one of his U.S. Open medals, and Phil goes, "You got some of them gold ones? I got a bunch of silver ones, but do you have any gold ones?" And it wasn't like, they weren't trying to like kill each other. It was just a very humorous, like, it was almost like they were playing the parts, but they were doing it a lot more comfortably than last time.
Well, that you're exactly right, because Tiger is in his best. And I think I said this maybe last week in our lead up, but when you watch Tiger, you want to watch Tiger in his element. You want to watch Tiger being Tiger. You don't want to watch Tiger trying to be Phil or Peyton Manning. And having the additional players, the quarterbacks involved, Tiger was able to kind of quiet down. He didn't have to say anything other than those little one-liners, other than things like that. But you didn't have to hear him create any conversation. Tiger's not the guy you want to mic up, other than the fact that he's Tiger Woods. His lure is not what is going to come out of his mouth. His lure is what he's going to do with his golf clubs. And he gave us that. And Tom Brady is kind of the parallel to that on the other side, where he's a little more quiet. And because they had these four together, they were able to do that.
Can we talk about how good Peyton Manning is? Like, he was really impressive. He hit a couple of loose ones, but like, come on. Like, that is, he absolutely played up to his part, rolled a couple putts in, hit a lot of really nice shots.
Yeah, I think he sometimes looks a little weird because he's so big, and like even his address, like his at the ball is like, you're like, I don't know, that doesn't look like it's gonna work. But then his iron play was like, he was like out hitting Phil. I mean, he was like a lot tighter than Phil on the back. You know, he had a couple drives that were iffy, which is to be expected of anybody. I mean, Phil hit some drives that were iffy, but I just thought his iron play on the back nine and kind of throughout the day was pretty awesome.
It really was. You know, you mentioned how big he is. And when I think of Tiger Woods, Tiger in my mind is a big guy. When he's in a normal golf tournament, his physical presence stands out. Watching in the lead up, Tiger and Peyton Manning next to each other doing an interview is like shocking. And Peyton's not a guy you think of as a huge guy. He's a quarterback, right? He can't move. So I thought that was just fascinating.
Yeah, he's really, really big.
And then he executed some really good shots. And so did Brady. I thought these guys down the stretch were just, they were fantastic.
How about 16, the par three, when Russell Wilson jumps on? He's like, 100,000 meals to anybody that hits it within 12 feet. Brady hits it to within 12 feet. Peyton hits it to within 12 feet. Phil hits it to within 12 feet. And then Tiger, the chump, is like 20 feet away. Yeah. And you're like, what is happening? Like, this is crazy.
What odds could I have gotten that Tiger was the worst of the group on par three?
I think wasn't there a prop that was like 50-1 or I don't know, it might have been 500-1 that Tiger would be away on a par three. I think there was.
I didn't see it. I believe that. I mean, there was like very little chance that he's the dog there.
Yeah.
You think about like Peyton, you were talking about Peyton's iron play and with Brady on the front nine, it felt like he wasn't able to, like he was going to shank an iron. It was more likely he was going to shank an iron shot than he was going to hit a ball onto the green. And all of a sudden, the match after the shot Phil hits on 14, which was so good, that shot up the little ridge there was so good. You have no idea. And then all of a sudden, it's one. The difference is one. Tiger's only one up, and Brady hits that shot, and I'm thinking they're gonna come back and win. They're gonna win this thing. And then Peyton Manning hits it inside of both of them. I couldn't believe what I was seeing, and you can't really see it because the rain's covering the camera. You don't really know, like the rain's over the lens. It was one of the cooler moments, I think, that I did not expect in any way to get this. You guys think overall this did it surpass expectations? You think expectations were too low, or do you think this was just really that good?
I think every part of it surpassed my expectations. Now, they might have been artificially deflated. Shout out to Tom Brady after what happened in Vegas in 18, which was just kind of I don't know. I thought my expectations for that were pretty mediocre, and it still kind of came in under them. It was fine. It just wasn't that great. And so you look at that and you're like, okay, well, maybe we get like a kind of a better version of that with these other guys thrown in. But I don't know, maybe it was the production, maybe it was the broadcast, maybe it was Peyton, I don't know what it was, but it just worked. Like, it just worked as an entertainment event, which is, you know, at the end of the day, like, all this stuff is. And you know, I don't know how much you can take away and be like, oh, well, this is what the European Tour should do, or this is what the PGA Tour should do. But for an event that raises 20 mil for, you know, COVID relief on a Sunday afternoon at Medalist, I just thought it was perfect.
I think my expectations were correctly low. I mean, we have not been blown away by really any of these kind of one-off events recently. And I came in with really low expectations, but I was just flipping through my head trying to think about what was the worst part about this? I think in general, like, for a long time, we were on pace for like a 6.5 hour round. Yeah. And I would have, like, most weeks I would have been like, oh my God, this is going to go 6.5 hours. This is crazy. I would have watched all 6.5 hours. Like, yeah. I don't know what really the worst part about this was. So I hate to be the guy who's just gushing over everything about this, but it was really, we got a lot of really good golf. We got a great production, and this was awesome. So yeah, I mean, hats off to everybody involved, the ton of money being donated, a great product put out there. Everyone should get a pat on the back.
Now, we could talk about this all night long, because there's so much to get into. But before we get going, you mentioned pace of play, Rick, and pace of play seems to be one of the biggest issues on the PGA Tour. One of the biggest problems people have with golf. Is there something, and I ask both of you this, is there something from the match and the broadcast that we saw today that we can all use and learn from to put into maybe regular events, maybe matches that are similar to this? Is there something, is there maybe one key thing in here that gets us more entertained from watching golf that we can use going forward?
Besides Tiger playing?
It's a good point. It's a really fair point.
Put that into some more events. No, I think, I mean, I said this last week after Seminole, it's the microphone thing for me. It just adds so much that, you know, I think we give announcers and broadcasters a hard time about falling into cliches and falling into, you know, just the typical narratives. And it's like, man, it's really hard. It's really difficult to not do that because you're just doing it week after week. You have so much airtime to fill. You have so many minutes to fill up. And you've got all these other conversations that are going on that you can leverage for your advantage for the telecast. And I get it. It's not as easy as it looked, or it's not as easy to do as it seemed on Sunday in terms of like the miking guys up and getting all that flowing. But I think that's the direction that golf needs to move in into the future. I think 15 years from now, we'll look back on this period of time, be like, wait, we didn't have mics like on everybody or around everybody or on bags, picking up everything that everybody's saying. That just seems like that will seem like a foreign concept, I think.
Can I offer a hot take? That pace of play is not a problem. The entertainment is the problem. The pace of play is an issue in Major League Baseball because it's boring and there's a lot going on and there's not a lot of action over the course of 3 or 3.5 hours. No one complains if the NFL has a 4 or 4.5 hour game. It's never been said. No one has ever said a football game is too long. So maybe it is not necessarily the product, but the way that we display it. I think today was a perfect example that if you have a compelling, entertaining situation going on, people will watch it for any length of time and they will tune in for it. I would say we've just got to get more creative on showing better, whether it's stories behind the players, whether it is just more shots, whether it is mics, whether it is technology, whatever it is. If you can create the absolute most entertaining product, no one cares how long it goes.
Yeah, I think that's a really good take. And I think additionally, when you have a tour event or a bigger tournament with 156 guys or whatever it is, the pace of play doesn't matter because there's always something going on, right? Like it doesn't matter to people watching on TV what the pace of play is. It matters to players that are at events. It matters to fans that are at events, but that's such a small percentage of kind of this crowd that you're trying to appeal to, that the pace of play doesn't matter as long as the presentation, the production, whatever is great. And I think you're saying that about a single group with four guys. I mean, think about that. We it's not like we were cutting back and forth between different groups and seeing action all the time. It was one group, and yes, they were in carts, but it's not like stuff was going on. It's not like shots were being hit throughout. It was slow at times, but because the production was good, because we got all these like anecdotes and all this different stuff, it was incredibly enjoyable.
I think those are great points, Rick, especially the pace of play thing. Viewing on TV, pace of play is only a problem when you get on Sunday afternoon and you have somebody taking an excessively long period of time in one of the last two groups when there's nobody else on the course.
JB Holmes.
That almost started this frenzy of pace of play conversation because we saw it. And then you get people on Twitter timing Bryson DeChambeau on shots. And so social media at events definitely gets people a little fired up about it. But all in all, it's not that big of a deal.
I have one more question for you guys before we go. Who do you think had longer shorts, Allen Iverson in his prime or Tiger Woods today?
We're going to have to get the measuring tape out for that one.
As a native Philadelphian, it is Allen Iverson, baby. Let's go.
Thank you, guys. And hey, first of all, happy Memorial Day. I hope everybody has a great rest of the weekend. Great closing question there. So thank you so much for listening. If you like what you heard, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, and also make sure to follow us at First Cut Pod. Kyle, thank you so much for joining us today. You can follow Kyle Porter on Twitter at Kyle Porter CBS. Rick Gaiman, you can follow on Twitter at Rick Rungood. I'm Greg Ducharme. You can get me at The Real GFD. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.